Mark Emerson Show live from Portland, 503-733-2970. Let's all get a hold of ourselves. Let's all calm down. Nothing to see here. Move along. If you'd like to email today with your stories of broken off teeth or sexual assault references in Kenny Rogers songs, it's 503-733-2970. You can also email it as rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up this hour, CNN Radio's Jim Roop is going to join us. And we'll count down the top five Aerosmith songs you've never heard because they never get played on the radio. We'll head to the city desk here in just a moment. I do want to say, by the way, that the injury email is already pouring in. See, it's like all that guy has to do is mention it. It just comes in. Rick, I broke off 9 teeth on a curb at 6th and Morrison.
That's nothing.
See, that? Listen to you. That's not an injury. Yeah. See, that's where the subject line just says it all there. Rick, we have, in fact, had a Kenny Rogers Roasters here in Portland. If you want to revisit the failed location on Barber Boulevard, maybe it's part of a tour, head for the Fantasy Adult Video on Barber and Capitol Highway. Dave, yes, perhaps right next to a Fantasy Adult Video is not the best place to put a fine dining family restaurant for chicken. Let's see. Rick, Kenny Rogers did have a hit 3 years ago with Buy Me a Rose. All right, let's take your word for it. All right, here we go. This is the... I swear to God, the subject line of this email
is
raping and chipmunks. Rick, Coward of the County is indeed on Urban Chipmunk. The line in the song is, oh, now listen to this. Okay, seriously. The first person who can get me an MP3, and I'm not advocating piracy in any way. The first person who can get me an MP3 of the Chipmunk Coward of the County song, I don't know that I think.
Do we have any swag left from the old show?
Yes, I'll give you some Max 910 things. I don't know that we have anything in the Johnson 970 prize closet at the moment. But
we'll, you live in it.
Yes, because it's, yes, because
Tim and I are both going for the gold on that one.
it's currently occupied by my desk and all my possessions. you can't have my desk. Seriously, we'll put you at the top of the Rick Emerson friend of the show list for like a solid month.
Oh, we do have some smooth jazz CDs.
That is true. Wait, no, I do have. Wait, hold on.
We do have prizes.
I do have.
We had some dog food yesterday too, but I neglected to save it.
I'll give you some of the leftover CDs from the 106.7 Smooth Jazz Library, featuring but not limited to Jazz to the World and Sax Scenes at the Movies. So the first person who can hook me up with an MP3 or other audio version of the Chipmunks version of Coward of the County. Now listen to this. I really honestly, by the way, couldn't have told you an hour ago that this was the direction the show was going to take. But I can just sense in the air today that it is one of those programs. It is one of those days where things just start off well and then they become a little...
They become
a little freeform as the day progresses. All right. Rick, Coward of the County is indeed on Urban Chipmunk. The line in the song is altered. Now listen to how they alter this. Listen to how the Chipmunks alter the, and I can't say this enough, the gang raping reference in Coward of the County by Kenny Rogers. Here's the original. The original is, there's someone for everyone, and that's EV apostrophe. This is the language of the common man. Or Elizabethan Englanders. There's someone for everyone, and Tommy's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day, while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky, and there were three of them. All right, that's the Kenny Rogers version. Now, let me ask you this, Sarah. What would you change about that? What is the key line that you would seize upon to change if the Chipmunks were going to be recording this song?
Took turns.
No. Try again.
Three of them?
No. Try again.
Becky?
No.
Gatlin boys.
No. Tim, do you remember who the leader of the Chipmunks was?
Yes.
Okay, who led the Chipmunks?
Elvin.
No, 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 but I mean in real life. Dave Seville. Dave Seville, yeah. Who was the human, he was the sort of adoptive parent.
Dave Seville came calling.
He was Dave Seville was the parent figure of the Chipmunks. He voiced them, and he was also the human presence. Listen to this. This is the Chipmunk version. There's someone for everyone, and Dave's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. And now you have to picture this, oh, by the way, in chipmunk voice in your head. So as I'm saying this, imagine that this is being voiced by a chipmunk on a record for 9-year-olds. There's someone for everyone. And Dave's love was Becky. In her arms, he didn't have to prove he was a man. One day while he was working, the Gatlin boys came calling. They took turns at Becky. Indeed, they did. Indeed, it was turn after turn with Becky, apparently. They took turns at Becky.
Maybe they challenged her to a video game.
And there were three of them. Now, A, clearly they read the lyrics of the song because they bothered to change Tommy to Dave, which doesn't even fit the meter, by the way. You can at least go with an Alvin's love with Becky, but no, they're just disregarding this.
Or Davey.
Maybe they couldn't get clearance for Tommy's name.
Disregarding the structure of the song. And then, as they record the song, they decide just to sort of keep that part intact. So you do have to wonder, if you were a child hearing this song, exactly what is it that you would think the Gatlin boys were taking turns with Becky for? Some sort of an exciting, completely non-rape oriented activity, undoubtedly, but I don't really know what it is. So there you go. So we'll keep an eye on the email today, and we'll see if somebody can hook us up with the copy of the Chipmunks, Coward of the County. Coming up later this hour, Jim Roop from CNN Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been too long. At the City News Desk, it's Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat, Tim Riley reporting. You're a valued employee. Now please leave. General Motors will offer buyouts to more than 125,000 factory workers. They have to get rid of 30,000 jobs by 2008. So they're going to offer them up to $140,000 to quit and never come back.
Excellent. Can we get part of that?
We don't work at GM.
Oh, all right.
You got to be one of those people who screws in the nuts and bolts to those big gargantuan gas-guzzling SUVs that you get the tax credits on.
Wait, are these guys working on the line, on the assembly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this... I was probably a completely skewed perspective on this, but when you talk about those guys working on the assembly line,
yes.
In my head, it's always that, like, your job is literally just putting, like, one bolt on one screw, and, like, that's it. And you repeat 5,000 times until you're 65 and have carpal tunnel.
They used to.
Is that what it really is?
Without complaining.
Is that really what you literally
had? The Archie Bunkers of the world,
Just some very, very repetitive, very basic job, and that's what you did for 40 years?
How much English do you have to know for that? All these immigrants came over here from the old country.
They know
how to put nuts and bolts on things way back when. What's there to train?
I don't know. It does make you wonder why there aren't more shootings, though.
Mm-hmm. So, get up to $140,000 if you quit your job.
All right, then.
With the blessings of the United Auto Workers. The changes for the buyouts will come this year. The company posted a $10.6 billion loss in 2005. So, GM remains the world's number one automaker.
Excellent.
Even after this.
Well, there you go.
Early retirement incentives will be offered to all of GM's 113,000 factory workers. So that's that. A hotel in Germany has started charging its guests by the pound for an overnight stay. The hotel requires guests to pay a half euro, or 61 cents per 2.2 pounds. Reports said the move appears to be working with the returning guests. Much to the surprise, the guests were thinner on their next visit.
Well, is this because... I don't understand why, though. I can understand, like, because they do that, there's some airlines that do that now, where if you're a fatty, they charge you more?
Southwest.
I don't
know. Is it? Well, that makes sense, of course, because Southwest is... And, by the way, and Southwest is always what I fly. Now, I mean, at this point, I think I could actually afford to fly somebody, but I don't because I'm just a cheap bastard. Mm-hmm. And so I continually fly Southwest, where it's like... It's Southwest, they do everything, but just, like, pack you in with a plunger. You know what I mean? Like, you see those guys... This guy's getting onto the Japanese subway... And there's those two dudes in Japan, like, standing outside the subway, and their job is to ram everybody in there with sticks. Do you know? Have you seen those guys?
Yeah.
Where it's like, in Japan, because they're a fertile people. And so there's just Japanese, they're just running everywhere. And so the subway opens, 5 billion Japanese guys cram themselves into a subway, and literally, there's guys whose job is to stand outside the subway with long sticks. They look like, they sort of look like big push brooms, and they're sticks with a flat end, and they just stand outside, and they just shove everybody in. They just pack everybody into the subway with sticks, and pull the sticks back at the last minute, and the doors shut. And Southwest is always just one step away from doing that. I don't really understand exactly the point of charging people more by the pound for staying at a hotel, though. Is this sort of a, it takes more water because of your many folds kind of a thing, or?
I would think so, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Have the Hick Watch.
Copenhagen makes me feel good. Copenhagen, the way I know it should. Well, I put a little chew in my mouth, go spitting, slobbering all around the house. That Copenhagen
makes me feel secure.
Oh, yeah. We got not one but two Walmart stories. Walmart has overcome its rural roots and downscale image to attract affluent shoppers.
Sure they will.
Sure they have. I think Karl Rove is doing their PR work. But executives admit that many of those well-heeled consumers come only for cheap groceries and stay clear of other merchandise.
And the customers.
And the screaming kids. And its boldest effort yet to target upscale shoppers, the nation's largest retailer, is opening a new store this week with an expanded selection of high-end electronics, more fine jewelry, hundreds of types of wine ranging from a $500 a bottle.
Imagine having to explain
even
to people
a sushi bar.
Imagine having to explain to people that you purchased that evening's wine at Walmart. Mm-hmm. That's sort of a thing you won't be telling anybody.
With 3,700 U.S. stores, Walmart has already saturated the market. Their future growth depends on boosting sales by offering a better shopping experience. They renovated 1,800 stores, as many of its older outlets have started looking a little bit tired.
As opposed to the gleaming bastions of aesthetic pleasure that they were before.
Walmart suffers from a perception that its merchandise is of lower quality.
It's not really so much the merchandise. It is the gigantic expanding ass covered in lavender sweatpants that always seems to be in front of me when I walk in. And you know what I'm talking about, too. Now, Kmart... We need to talk about Kmart for a second, because Kmart used to, and I'm not a kid anymore, so I don't know if this is still the case. But I mean, when I was a boy, there was no worse place that you could shop or have things purchased for you than at Kmart. And again, I'm sure they're a fine store. I'm sure they have high quality merchandise at low everyday prices, and they're a proud American company. I don't know. All I know is, when I was growing up, if people even thought that you were wearing something, it doesn't matter. It could have been a name brand item. What it is, the Levi Strauss, doesn't matter. Whatever they are, you know, here's my Nike shoes. If they were purchased at Kmart, I mean, you might as well have been wearing like a leopard tag around your neck. It didn't matter. You couldn't admit it. You couldn't talk about it. You couldn't tell anybody. God forbid you were ever seen shopping at Kmart by somebody who, like, knew you. You know what I mean? And your parents, of course, never understood. Your parents never, you would try to explain it. And you can see now that it doesn't really have any internal logic. Because by definition, if someone sees you shopping at Kmart, A, they are there as well. And B, you know, most of what you're buying there was like a name brand item anyway. But man, if Monday came around at school and the word started to spread that you'd been seen shopping at Kmart, is it your life was over. You just take your life. And that was the same in my era, and it was probably the same for you, Sarah, because they didn't start that... Kmart didn't start remaking their image until the very late 90s, I think.
No, it was the same thing with Kmart when I was younger.
Yeah.
Like, you would be banned and from then they, any kind of social life.
And they tried doing that thing where they started calling it the Big K, which fooled no one, which changed nothing. Because anytime you try to do that, you very consciously try to make yourself over like that, it's always just a colossal failure. So, but the Walmart is, it really is the same thing, because Kmart... And again, I'm sure this has all changed, but back in the day, Kmart, the stores had a very, what's the word? Grubby feeling to them. And you would walk, and there was always that weird icy machine, like with the big, huge, twirling, light-up icy cup that was always just, like, spinning around. And then, like, they were selling, like, month-old popcorn. And that was it. And there was always a guy with a bad mullet and, like a skull ring right in front of you. And it's...
Everything's covered with lard.
Yes, everything, and that's the other problem. Everything was, their research uncovered that people did not like the fact that everything was covered in lard. All right. Let's talk to Rob. Hi, Rob. You're on the Rick Everson Show.
Hey, man. I got two things. Kmart, do you remember the old tagline we used to scream to each other as kids?
I have no idea.
You two were kids together?
No, Kmart fall apart.
No, I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah, dude. You'd see a kid getting a bike from Kmart and riding down the street, and you'd just be counting the days until the front wheel fell off and broke two off at the gum line.
Until it's self-destructed. No,
and the second thing is, you know, Walmart is a great thing. You know, you wake up and you haven't shaved in a week and you're hungover and you've gained like 10 pounds. Go there, you're still the best looking guy in the store.
Well, I mean, and I don't look, it's like that, like, I know I've talked about the DMV before. Like, I had to go to, about 3 weeks ago, we had this embarrassing moment where we all had to supply our social security cards and I'd lost mine. And it's like, I'm supposedly the department head, and I have to be the responsible one, and I had lost my Social Security card. And anyway, so I have to go to the Social Security office, which is just as efficient as you think it is. And literally, like, you have to take one of those, like, take-a-number things. Like you pull the paper tag out, and then you go sit down, and you are always, like, no, I don't care how early you go there. There are always 500 people in front of you. You're always dead freaking last in a triple-digit line, and I don't know why.
What are all those people doing there?
I have no idea, and I don't, it's like how no matter where you live, you're the guy whose cans they pick up. The garbage guy picks up at 6 a.m. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, no matter where you move to, have you noticed this? No matter where you move to, your garbage cans are always picked up at 6 a.m. and your mail is always delivered at like 4.
There must be some guy somewhere. His garbage gets picked up at noon.
And his mail comes early. Right, yeah. But it's never you or me or anybody we know.
I've never even heard of one. If there's one out there, hey, call the Rick Emerson at 733-2970.
I'm glad that we've got the listeners trained on the call to action. My point is, so I'm sitting there at the Social Security office, and you have plenty of time to study all the people, and you know that normal looking, attractive, successful people, they must have Social Security cards too. They've got to have them. It's like they've got to go to the DMV, and yet they're never there. You know, like attractive, good looking people, they also need driver's licenses. They're never at the DMV. It's just like one endless freak parade after another, and so it is at Walmart. I mean, look. The most successful corporation or most successful retail outlet in America anyway, clearly it's not just the toothless among us who shop at Walmart. I mean, look, a couple times a year I will somehow find myself in a Walmart buying goods and services, I'll admit it. But you're always just walking behind Lulu Hogg and her family, do you know what I mean? You're always trapped behind some low-rent Winona Judd, and I don't know why that is. That's the perception. So, I'm just making the observation. Terry, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I'm fine. Just don't even wait. Don't worry about it. You just plunge on ahead.
Glad to have you back.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, that story about the thin people and the fat people in Europe.
Yes.
Well, it's because fat people have more wear and tear on the furniture and the mattresses than skinny people do.
And it's because... I guess is it just like a surface area thing where the...
Well, it's like when you sleep on it. If you got a person who weighs 400 pounds when he sleeps on a mattress, it's going to leave marks, you know?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That's what they said, that it was because thin people are less wear and tear on the mattresses and on the furniture.
And you know when they say that thin people are less wear and tear on the mattresses, you know what they're talking about, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about... You know, late at night, you're trying to sleep, and there's two polar bears in the next room that are going at it. And you're Louis Anderson and his wife are in the next room trying to get a little familiar.
Yeah, all right. That's what it's all about.
All right. Thank you, Terry. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. This has been the strangest show. And I got to say, by the way, we haven't had time to talk about the Willamette today. We're on the front of the Willamette. We're not the cover story. There is a certain appropriateness, though. It's like it's meth and Rick. You know, it's sort of a puppet show, Spinal Tap kind of a thing. We are on the front of the Willamette, and our good friend Mark Baumgarten, he did an entire page on us. There was a full page article with a not terrible picture of me. One of the very few good pictures of me that I've been taken. And we'll talk about that. So undoubtedly, we're getting a lot of cume, as they say in the radio business, a lot of people who are sampling the radio station, and yet, of course, they tune in today, and it's just chipmunks and gang rape and Louis Anderson having sex in the room next to you. Hi, how are you? It's 503-733-2970. Are we still at the city news desk or are we done?
Well, it's up to you. You're the star of the show.
Thank you. We really, just chipmunks and egotism. We really should be finished, and here's why. Because we got to take a break.
Yes.
And then I swear to God, we got to come back and we got to do more news because Jim Roop from CNN is going to be joining us. And then we got the top five. And all of that. Plus, the Chipmunks Coward of the County MP3. We got it. We'll be playing it later on. We'll also talk about this story in the Willamette. And we'll play this terrible production music. Hi, how are you? It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Around the corner, we'll be back. That was the Hick Watch. This is the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. It is Wednesday. Coming out tomorrow on the program, Barfly Magazine's Jen Lane is going to be here. Friday, Scott Dally from filmfever.org. Thank you for coming along. If you want to email today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Like us at 3, by the way, world famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. More from Tim Riley at the City Desk coming up in just a while. We got Jim Roop from CNN Radio is going to be here as well. And we got to talk about this piece in the Willamette. What else? What else do we have to get to today? I have this taser video. I have the taser video, and we have Office Confidential.
I want to see that.
The taser video?
Yeah.
I just got to make sure that it's clean. I haven't listened to it yet. We can listen to it in queue or something during a break and make sure that it's not... Because the woman really does... She really does just scream like an unholy banshee. I mean, because the guy... I mean, he really does just tase the hell out of her. Now that she doesn't have it coming. So we'll get to that later on as well. Let's take a couple of these. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Who's this?
This is Wallace.
Wallace, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm a new convert.
From Christianity?
I used to listen to the gun-toting midget for years.
See, what? Who is that? Everybody says gun-toting
midget.
Okay. Well, that's obvious now. I should have made the connection. No, because there's that liner... There's that liner that runs with the, you know, we're not a pill-popping nitwit or a gun-toting a-hole or whatever, and I never know who they're talking about, but Lars, it totally makes sense now. We're not a beady-eyed sack of flour.
My roommate used to play you nauseating during the mornings. Now that you're on live, I can listen to you at work.
All right, so your roommate, so you were subjected to the show, your roommate subjected you to the show earlier.
Oh, yes.
All right,
yes.
Excellent. All right, thank
you,
sir.
Yeah, he's the singing Klingon.
Aren't they all?
I know him well.
Yeah.
Just an advertisers. Okay. Are you spreading the word, sir?
I kind of try to, but nobody at the office will listen to you.
Well, thanks. Thanks for ending the call on an up. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
I told you, they're the strangest people today.
Well, you know why? It's because of the Willamette piece. We might as well talk about this a little bit right now, and then we'll talk to Jim Roop. But so Mark Baumgarten, who is our man at the Willamette, as we say, he's been talking to me. I think we calculated up that I've been talking to Mark Baumgarten for we've done 36 hours worth of interviews. I mean, it was just unreal. He, and I don't know, there's no reason I can't talk about this now, but Mark Baumgarten from the Willamette, we first started talking last August, I think. June, July, August, it was last summer sometime. And so we sort of talked and we did like 5 different interview sessions. I know he talked to you, Tim.
Yes.
He had, and Sarah, did he ever contact you? No, everybody else.
No, he never talked to me.
Everybody but Sarah.
But we both got mentioned.
Yeah, and so then we actually went so far. I mean, I hope he doesn't mind me talking about this. It's not like I'm breaking any sort of reporter, interviewee, confidentiality, whatever. But so we did like 6 different sit-down sessions. And at one point, he and I actually took a road trip to Kennewick together. We actually drove to, and it was at his suggestion. God knows, no point, like my ass, didn't ever want to go to Kennewick again. So... He actually, in December, like a couple weeks before Christmas, like, he emailed me, he's like, Rick, I think we need to go to Kennewick together, which is just a weird phrase that I didn't quite know how to take it. And so we drove to Kennewick, spent an entire day. I was like, look, it's the Kennewick this, and look, it's the Kennewick that. And I gave him, like, it's not even really a nickel tour. It's like a cent and a half tour.
Oh, that's kind of cute.
And then we made out.
Really?
No, I'm totally... Joni's got this whole thing where she ends every sentence that I say with, and then you made out. So we went to, anyways, we spent this whole day, and then we drove back, and then we met like twice more since then. And part of you like never thinks that the piece is actually going to come out. Part of you think it's just going to be an endless interviewing process, and the piece is never actually going to be done. I had no idea that it was even going to run today. They were in here last week, he and Alicia, right? Was that his cameraman?
I don't know. I was under the impression I don't think they knew each other.
It was some camera girl. Yeah. So the photographer, they were in last Monday. And then I just was like walking by one of the Willamette Week boxes today, and there it is. So it's right on the front page. And I'm out of the culture section. Rick Emerson, wait for it. Portland's answer to Howard Stern. He's back on the air. Page 33.
Are you called a shock jock?
I do. At least he's not, I don't think he calls me a DJ, at least. I do want to know, by the way, that it's a good piece. I have no real complaints about the piece. So this is, I want to keep a good relationship with Mark. And there is a pretty decent picture of me, actually, because the pictures of me, I am like the least photogenic person on planet Earth. Sarah is incredibly photogenic. It doesn't matter what you could be using, like one of those picture box, sundial, shadow box, charcoal sketch things from the Middle Ages, and you'd look good.
Oh, that's not true.
That is true.
No, it is true. You photograph very well. The camera does like you, as they say. And then Tim photographs pretty well, but it's like, you remember Christina Carlson was on the show? Christina's an attractive girl. Man, you couldn't get a good photograph of her to save your life.
Her pictures never justified how pretty she was.
Her head looked all squashed and like a mushroom, and it's like her head looked all like it was weirdly proportioned. I shouldn't be saying this, but she's a very beautiful girl, but when you would photograph her, it was like you'd photoshopped her or something, and you just sort of squashed her head down a little bit. And she always looked cockeyed. And again, I can only say this because A, she's in band and can't hear me, and B, because you all know, if you remember, in person, she's very, sounds like such a backhanded compliment, but in person, she's a very pretty girl.
She just has three eyes in pictures.
She's got a sweet spirit. She's very beautiful, but you would photograph her, and she always looked like a trout that you just whacked on the side of a head with a mallet. It's like one eye would be all open and bulgy, and the other guy would be like half shut, and there was no, one of her lips would be all curled weirdly. She looked like you would caught her midway through a stroke of some kind. And every photograph we took of her, they came out bad. Matt, on the other hand, always photographed, Matt and his dazzling blue eyes. Like, of all the people in the photograph, Matt would always photograph the best. And then me, it's just a big nose, and then I got like a weird, gimpy girl next to me. So, my point is, this is actually a decent photograph taken by someone who was shafted out of credit on the photo, apparently. And so he's got this great name for it, though. The article is titled, Return of the Pleasantness. So he worked a lot of show lingo into the article because, for the longest time, we've referred to the time when I'm off the air, we refer to those periods as the unpleasantness. And so he's got this return of the pleasantness for almost a year, loyal talk radio, and I'm not going to read the whole thing. Because that would just be me sitting here waxing my own car. But for almost a year, the Loyal Talk Radio listeners waited for Rick Emerson's return. Oh, they wait no more. And then he recaps our first day here. I am not a shock jock or a DJ. I am a talk jock, though. Rick Emerson's motor mouth, blah, da, da, blah. A tip of the hat to Howard Stern, da, 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 da. This is the one complaint that I will make about this article. Apart from the fact where he says, not the most original material, but his delivery is brash. So there you go.
And uncompromisingly geeky.
Well, that's fine. I mean,
Let's keep reading.
Now and of course the pull quote. And when you read an article, there's always that one quote that they pull and they put in huge text. And the one poll quote is me saying, well, that wasn't too much of an abortion. And I don't even really know what I was talking about.
It was the first segment after we finished the first segment.
All right. And yeah. So he's got that, and then he's got the... You see, Mark Baumgarten he must be great at picking up girls, and I'll tell you why. Because, the key to picking up girls is the left-handed compliment. It sounds like a compliment, but in reality, it's like he's insulting you. And so then you just crave his approval even more. You know what I mean?
You just want to please him now?
It's like... Yes. Yes, I just want to please Mark Baumgartner.
Want to relive those sunny days in Kennewick?
It's time for another trip, Mark. It's a thing that sounds like a compliment, and then you wait at me and go, oh, well, wait. Where he says, Emerson is the type of talk jock who is more interested in entertaining listeners with snide remarks or rants than spouting political dogma or sports talk. It's an approach that is rare in today's talk radio universe, and it's one that puts Emerson in the same category, if not the same class, as Howard Stern. So there you go. Almost a compliment. Takes a turn halfway through. But my only real complaint here is, and everybody who works in radio knows what I'm talking about. When the television or the news, they come to do, they do any sort of a story about you, they always use the call letters and never the frequency. That's the thing they're constantly doing. Like they would come and they'd say, hey, we're talking to Rick Emerson at KCNR. We're talking to Rick Emerson at KOTK. And then they never put the frequency, which of course screws us because no one can ever find the station just by the call letters, right?
Yeah.
Or they'll never, but they won't put the logo. They'll just put that one stock shot of the meters bouncing up and down. You know, the sound wave meters? So,
or if they're really old, periods after each call letter.
Or 36 hours I spent with Mark Baumgarten, he quotes me as saying, coming to you from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of KCMD AM, The Johnson.
This is The Johnson on your dial.
So, there you go.
I work at The Johnson.
I work at The Johnson. Hi, how are you?
Maybe you got it confused with the Howard Johnson.
Perhaps. All right, so I'll tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll go to the city desk. We got your top five coming up. And later I'll play this Alvin and the Chipmunks cut, which our good friend Todd the Corpse has given to us. You stay there. It's 503-733-2970. Don't go anywhere. It is the Rick Emerson Show, live from the Johnson, apparently. A proud part of CBS Radio family. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. No, it's. I'm not even gonna make a pun about it. No, I'm. It's pointless. It's a joke that writes itself. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Like us at 3, by the way. The world famous Phil Henry Show at 7. Thank you for coming by. Don't let me forget, by the way, the next time Carlin's on. And this is a thing I'm just making a note to myself about. The next time Carlin's out, we got to talk about them. There's a big article about Lost. God, listen to this. It must be so easy to graduate from a journalism school. They're talking about the character of Kim, you know, on Lost. Kim's appeal, not Lost. Castaway is a surprise sex symbol on Lost. And it's Daniel Kim who plays Jin. Or whatever his name is. But we got to talk about the rise and fall of that show. You thought, I mean, I'm probably the only one here that ever watched it, right? You guys never watched Lost, did you?
Mm-mm.
And I did that thing. I'm like the rest of America. I watched the first season and thought it was the most fantastic thing that had ever been aired. And then about three episodes into the second season, you just kind of went, no. And he changed the channel and never went back. And I was just desperately trying to flog it into a hit again. And it's not going to work. It's not happening. Here's what we got to get to. We got to get to Steven Tyler's operation that Steven Tyler's having. We haven't done any of our Florida news. We haven't talked about Deborah LaFave, who I think everyone agrees is the toppermost of the poppermost when it comes to teachers who seduce their underage students. You know what I'm talking about? She's that teacher. Plus, she's all hot.
The blonde one.
Yeah, she's that. Because most of them are only sort of. Most of them are only sort of quasi pretty. They're all sort of. Most of those teachers who seduce their students, they're all sort of. They're all sort of doable, but not really attractive.
Was this the one from like a year or two ago?
She was, it was about a year and a half ago. It was when we were still on the air.
Okay.
And she's, well, look, here's the picture of her. You can tell she's legitimately pretty, but she's got like that, she's got like that trash underneath that you can spot that you're sort of trying to cover it up.
She totally does.
It's like, you know what it is? It's like paint over bad sighting. Like you could, like she, you know, good nutrition has given you some length of bone, but I'd say you're not one generation away from poor white trash. It's that she's totally. You look at her father, you look at her grandfather, you're gonna see some Jim Beam consumption and and like a car in block somewhere. But so we'll talk about her. Let me read this email very quickly. Rick, this is from our good friend Davey Nipples. Rick, once upon a time, while guitar teching for a certain bankrupt Portland band, I was changing a broken guitar string, pulling very firmly upward with a pair of needle nose pliers. That's fantastic. And yes, you guessed it. The needle nose pliers slipped off, narrowly missing my upper teeth, but alas, going straight up my right nostril, deep into my nose. Upon a quick panic reflex removal, I yanked said needle nose. I yanked said needle nose pliers quickly and firmly out of my nose, not realizing they had closed. And then, I'm going to read the best phrase now. This is the phrase of the day. We've been doing these injury emails because I have a weakness for this kind of thing. The pliers came out and attached to them a pulpy wad of nasal cavity flesh.
Oh, my God.
It's just sort of the low pained groan from Tim that sells that entire thing. A pulpy wad of nasal cavity flesh.
Oh.
Oh, boy. That's right up there with, like, meaty flanks.
Tim looks like he's going to be sick.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Oh.
So, did House Bill 359 pass in the state senate today?
I don't know.
Oh.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, shall we go to Tim, or shall I do the Chipmunk song?
Either or. I don't know if Roop's going to be calling.
Okay, well, let's do the Chipmunk song here.
Okay.
Now we must move on.
We'll do the city desk at the top. If we get a hold of Roop, we do. If we don't, we don't. Then we'll do the
top.
All right, so we were talking about this Kenny Rogers song, and I don't even know how we stumbled into talking about Coward of the County by Kenny Rogers. I do have to say that today is going to go down as probably the most disorganized show we've ever had.
Yeah, we might as well talk to the PD after this.
Yeah, so
maybe we'll have an air check session.
Why's it got to be like that? Why you got to be all catty about it?
Catty?
Yeah, why you got to be all snippy?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Real Job.
Oh, what? Okay. All right, look, I'm not gonna refer to what you were talking about off the air, about your clothing. I'm not going to make that statement.
Oh, I can feel myself getting fatter.
Sarah, I can feel my pants getting tighter with every passing day.
I don't know why I got
as you're shoveling, as you're shoveling pasta into your face, by the way.
It was Safeway Chinese food. It sounded really good at 10 a.m.
I'm sure that's really good for you. That seems really healthy.
Well, I rode my bike.
I'm sure that's not just a big pile of starch with sodium dumped on top.
I know. It's just, I was very kind to you when you were overweight.
No, you weren't.
Were you overweight?
Never. You were completely... I had a little bit of flab. I was not toned. I was without proper muscle tone. I was never really overweight. It's not anything we need to talk about. All right, so we got off onto this issue of Kenny Rogers somehow and Coward of the County. And I was pointing out last hour that Coward of the County by Kenny Rogers is a song whose dramatic thrust, one might say, it centered around, and keep in mind, this is a song that was played not just in country, but on top 40 radio for many years, was centered around, there's no other way to put this, the gang raping of the protagonist's girlfriend, Becky. And so I was curious about this Alvin and the Chipmunks Coward of the County.
As anyone would be.
All right, so let's find out. Let's see, hold on, do we have, let's bring my computer up here.
Oh, this doesn't need to be edited.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be edited, yes. It's the Dirty South remix.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
So disturbing.
He never stood one single time to prove the county wrong.
What a bizarre concept this whole Chipmunk thing is.
His mama named him Tommy, but folks just called him Yellow. But something always told me they were reading Tommy wrong.
It's like a Shatner sort of a delivery there.
He was only 10 years old when his daddy died in prison.
These are pretty dark lyrics for some rodents to be singing to you.
Cause he was my brother's son. I still recall the final.
So Alvin has a human son?
Son, my life is over. but yours is just begun.
I feel like I'm high. Look, not that I'm advocating drug use, but if you got any smoke, you might want to load that up right about now. It doesn't help that the Windows Media Player is doing that surreal psychedelic imagery to go with this.
The Zeppelin boys were bullies, and they beat up Tommy's best friend. The torn shirts and shattered look was more than he could stand. He reached above the fireplace, took down his daddy's picture.
Wait a minute, I think they've altered
he
these
took
lyrics.
Down his daddy's picture?
Fell on his daddy's face, and he heard these words again.
What? Now, wait a minute. I wonder if they've altered this somehow between the LP release and the CD release.
Yeah, I hear nothing about Becky.
No, I think we've been screwed.
They erased Becky.
Oh. Let's continue to...
I'll let you try not to do the things I've done. Walk away from trouble if you can.
So weird. You could never get kids to be entertained by this today.
Not unless they were playing the choking game.
This is sort of the Pong of children's records. Boy, you know, and this guy, Dave Seville, was just some DJ. Yeah, they totally skipped over the defiling of Becky. I feel cheated. Nah, clearly they've cleaned it up. I can't see how you can listen to this for more than...
Yet we're doing it.
I think this would result in your children being hyperactive. Yeah, clearly we've missed the entire... The defiling and the...
Buddy.
You know, like halfway through, I lost the ability to be able to tell what they're saying. I can't discern one chipmunk syllable from another now.
So they replaced Becky with a best friend.
So and the best friend is not gang raped. The best friend.
I know. Tommy said that he gave the Gatlin boys his all.
Well, we're talking about the chipmunk world here.
It really is. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll get to we'll get to the bottom of it. All right. You can email if you like. It is rick@rickemerson.com. We'll try to discern exactly
what's
going on.
That was certainly different.
Thank you. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. All right. It's Jim Roop joining us from Los Angeles, a proud CNN radio correspondent and extended member of the Rick Emerson family. How are you, Jim?
I'm even more proud of that, sir. Thank you.
I'm having the weirdest day.
Uh-oh.
This whole day, man, I got to tell you, it has been one... You know, it's like when you're walking around the house or you're carrying something out of the garage and you sort of trip and then you have the thing you're carrying. It's a birdhouse, let's say. You're walking out to the garage carrying a birdhouse. You trip and you start to drop the birdhouse. And as you're sort of stumbling around, you're doing everything you can not to drop it. But somehow you know that you are destined to. You know that no matter what you do, it's going to hit the floor. It's just what's going to happen. You're going to be unable to hold on to it. That's what today's show is. I am... Today's show is just destined to veer and careen madly out of control.
Oh, you throw a dove in the air and it just plops down like a brick.
Yes, exactly. So hey, that's kind of what today... I've been like 20 minutes behind from the moment I woke up this morning. And we started off today's show with the best intentions. I had a schedule. I had it all planned out. I knew what we were going to do. And then, you know, at some point we were talking about chipmunks and sexual assault. And it just all went really badly after that. You know what I mean? Or maybe you don't. Maybe. No, Rick, it's just you. No, Rick,
they don't get this type of thing in L.A. radio.
Oh, it's true. All right, so...
We're deprived in L.A.
It really is true. So, anyway, I know that you're talking about this. We don't really have this problem a whole lot in Oregon to the same extent that y'all do. But I know that, like, in Oregon, or they have, you know, we get a lot of the migrant population, which is what they refer to it here, a temporary and somewhat transient population.
Yeah.
But I know in California, I mean, it's just like off the charts that you guys have got the immigration problem, you know, both legal and illegal. And I saw that on CNN that they're having yet another, what, a task force to look into something, yet another council that's going to issue an action memo about a report, about a status initiative. They're not going to do anything about it, though, are they?
No. And yesterday there was a news conference by what they're calling a collaborative of various immigrant rights groups who are talking or trying to focus on positive pending legislation in the legislature. There's lots of what they call negative bills out there against immigration, and there are some positive ones there, too, that they're trying to focus on, because their contention is, look, immigrants are here, and we either utilize them to economically benefit this state, or we screw ourselves economically, now, basically, and send ourselves down the toilet.
Now, when you say utilize them, is that just code for white people who don't want to do their own dishes, or...
No, that's one of the big arguments, is that the undocumented or illegal immigrants are doing the jobs that no one else wants to do.
They're all issued a leaf blower for the most part. Well, it's true. I used to live there.
That's part of when the coyote...
They're all issued a leaf blower.
When the coyote comes over, he just hands them a rake. That was Tim Riley who said that, by the way.
Some of that makes sense to me.
See?
You know?
I make sense to somebody.
I mean, it's
a voice of sanity. In an otherwise mad world.
Well, you know, there's arguments on both sides of the issue, you know, but this collaborative is right. I mean, they are here, they're going to be here, and as much as we bitch and moan about it, nothing's going to really change, because they're going to come across the border, they're going to come in from Asia, they're coming in from everywhere. It's not just Mexican immigrants that we're talking about. We're talking about Asian Pacific immigrants, we're talking about Irishmen, for crying out loud, like my ancestors came through.
Are a lot of Irish people sneaking across the border?
There must be, because they're talking about them.
Okay.
So, you know, it's just one of those things where they're focusing on some of these bills, like the new Californians Act, that will offer immigrants programs and services while engaging them towards citizenship, if you will. They're trying to get the some of the federal programs that are offered to immigrants, and it takes so long for them to get in the system. They're trying to make an Office of Immigrant Rights Immigrant Affairs, what they're talking about, Office of Immigrant Affairs, right, on the state level. So, and they're calling this positive immigration legislation. So at least they're trying to do something, and because California is not hurting that bad economically, and if we continue to fight against immigration, it may hurt us.
It does. It really does seem, though, in the long run, that there is not going to be any middle ground. There's going to be no gray area median solution to this. One is either going to have to go the bleeding heart route, in which you just sort of let them in and let them acclimate, or you're going to have to go the Pat Buchanan route, which is where you just put up a big wall and you have a guy with a gun standing on top.
Yeah,
right?
But dig this, man. There's 2.7 million immigrants in Southern California.
As of right now.
As of right now. Mm. And so, I mean, what are you going to do? That's a big truck to round them all up in.
And I just saw...
There'll be car lots full of banged-up old cars.
And I saw Bush just talking a couple of days ago where he once again vetoed any kind of amnesty program, too. So there's all of these, you know, these guys continue to have their own completely shadow economy, right? I mean, I can't even imagine. You hear those stories occasionally about marijuana or whatever being the number one cash crop or the secret number two cash crop. I can't even imagine what percentage of the Oregon economy or the California economy is this completely underground, surreptitious economic exchange based on people who don't legally have the right to work here.
Well, I mean, anywhere you're going to find agriculture, you're going to find that situation. And, it's beneficial economically. My only problem was, and I posed this question to Senator Gil Cedillo, who authored some of these bills, is, look, if this positive legislation is going to pass, and so we're going to use immigrants, illegal, undocumented immigrants, to our benefit, I want to reap some benefits.
Yeah.
Our price is going to come down?
No.
If I'm going to say, all right, if they're here, let's use them, Well, I want to see something happen.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen. No.
I didn't think so.
It's going to get worse.
More because it's going to be more in health care and all this other stuff.
Car insurance? Twice as much down there.
I can hardly wait. I'm so glad I'm not having kids because I don't have to care. I don't have to worry about what this country's going to look like in 50 years. It doesn't matter to me at all. Doesn't matter. I wash my hands of it. I don't care about the environment. I don't care about the future of health care. It doesn't matter to me at all. Let me ask you a question. You have those Kenny Rogers roasters in Los Angeles?
Yeah, we did have. They're gone now.
Really? Did the whole chain fail?
It failed here.
Okay, it's failed here, too. I guess that's a whole...
El Pollo Loco is big down there.
It's a whole ill-advised experiment, I guess. We're trying to find out if those restaurants continue to exist anywhere.
Well, there's a lot of chicken places around here, from Pioneer Chicken to
El Pollo Loco.
El Pollo Loco, thank you very much, and a bunch of other ones. it's kind of hard to really be a success.
It's true. Okay.
You should open a chili parlor in Southern California.
You know, I think if today's show continues to go the way it's going, that's in my future.
They have Tommy's down there.
I'm just going to be pushing one of those Tommy burger carts. That's going to be it, man. All right, Jim Roop, thank you, my brother.
My pleasure, sir.
All right, there you go. This is the final word, by the way, on Coward of the County. Rick, why am I getting this so much of what little mental strength I have? Urban Chipmunk was re-released in the early 90s in CD form, in which many of the lyrics were altered, as people started to notice some of the oogier lyrics. From what I have gathered, only on the short vinyl run of Urban Chipmunk is the gang raping referenced. I'm going to go shoot myself now as I am embarrassed by my own lameness. That is Aaron, Geek in the City.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.
Back after this.
Hold me, like you did by the lake on Naboo.